What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Media 1099 podcast. My name is Robert Husky, here with my co-host Michael Durr, and we are here to discuss freelancing and content creation for entrepreneurs, as well as regular media trends going on. Today, we are going to be covering our quarter two review. We have taken a little bit of a break, so Mike and I are excited to get back to talking to each other. We'll hop on the train of recording right after you hear a word from our sponsors. All right, Mike, it's good to be back on the podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a break. We tend to have maybe one or two of those a year, you know, just kind of let the relaxation come in and take a relook at our business.
I think we could have gone a couple different ways. We could have obviously just pushed the pedal to the metal, but we also just used this time to kind of just take in what was happening over the course of the last several weeks. So contextually, you know, because this content is evergreen, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're listening in 2025, to give you context, what has just happened over the course of, now we're still in mid-June of 2020, which is month number four of quarantine or whatever have you from the coronavirus. Just about a few weeks ago, the George Floyd, who is an African-American man, was murdered by a police officer. That recorded, sent kind of shockwaves and ripple effects across the country and around the world, to be quite honest. And so we have seen since that point just this this kind of wave of movements, you know, some of them very positive, some of them are very negative. I think we've seen both clearly the worst in people, but we've also seen the best in people. And so I'm interested to hear kind of, you know, this is the first time we've talked since that has happened. You know, what are your thoughts? What are your feelings? What's going on?
Yeah. It's been a crazy time. I'll definitely agree with you there. Also, we're kind of in this weird limbo of like reopening, but not really. And just for some more context, today, Orlando Airport in Florida was like testing 500 of their facility or employees, and like 260 came back positive of COVID. So it's like this weird stage. And then, yeah, the murder that is the kind of catalyst of the recent Black Lives Matter protests have kind of, I think, really reawakened kind of America to kind of some systematic issues that we have, mm-hmm. you know, and it's great to see a unifying body coming together of people of, you know, all races, creeds, like men, women, kids, old ladies, like everybody. It just seems to be out there, and it's great. 'Cause yeah, I mean, it's a weird situation currently in America, especially right now where it's like a time where everybody's locked in home. And then you see this video of a man pleading for his life, you know, coming online and hitting Twitter, and it's just like, boom, all of a sudden everything's reignited again.
It reached the entire world. I mean, we're not talking about just red states and blue states, but we're talking about every state in the country. We're talking about countries in Europe. I mean, there are protests going on. There's gatherings. There's activism that's happening. And I think there's just a lot of conversation that's happening. Some of it's unhealthy. Some of it's proactive, and sometimes it's good. I don't really know what the best formula is. I think we're all trying to discover this to some degree, but it was everything about these last few months have been so challenging that I think that was, again, like this other catalyst to just kind of stoke the fires of people that were already in states of depression, states of frustration. I mean, we were just a couple of weeks prior to that happening, seeing people protesting, opening, you know, their city back up and opening up everything to resume life and business. And that seemed like the big news. And then this started to happen. Then it became even more so. I think, you know, there's to me, it's just a whole slew of emotions. And I think no matter what age range you are, what political affiliation you are, there's a lot of emotion involved. And so there's sensitivity there in terms of how I kind of want to broach that subject. And I think that, I guess that's the first part is, you know, you know, just finding your voice in all this. Because I'm a person that has, you know, been criticized in college and in high school for kind of writing that middle area, you know, not mm-hmm. being right or left per se, just kind of like understanding both sides. I think it's just because I have tremendous empathy overall. Like, I just see where people are coming from. And then I, you know, had friends and family that are, you know, on clearly both sides. So I've just been exposed to that dialogue more. And I may have my opinions and you may have yours, but just having these conversations and having these discussions are really important for us to kind of move forward. Because I would say one thing, regardless of whether you think the protests are counterproductive, if they are the only type of productive, and the resulting riots and or the resulting, you know, police brutality, quote unquote, or whatever, I think there's this notion of like, we as a country seem to be losing. I can't imagine anybody seeing this as like, hey, no matter what's going on, however you view it, that we're winning in this.
Yeah.
Like, I think we lose together, we win together. Like, this feels like just kind of like we're losing. And so we're all trying to figure out how to win together. And I don't have the greatest ideas for that. I mean, I have tremendous empathy for every single person involved in these that is victimized to some degree. You know, like I feel for every African-American person that's feeling that pain. I feel for police that are really good people that are being, you know, kind of generalized as villains. I feel bad for the businesses that are being ransacked that they worked hard to build. So I feel a lot of empathy for a lot of people. And it's tough to kind of navigate where you fit into all of this. It's not as cut and dry for some of us. But how do you take that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely agree with you. Like it's still fresh, right? So it's one of those things of, even though it's been, you know, a couple of weeks, it's like, it's still fresh and everybody's still trying to realize their own feelings about it and their own situations and how, like, looking in the mirror is going to, you know, shape who you are. And yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's tough because I feel like there's so much anger, like, on both sides of everything. And like, the value of talking and being able to listen, like, it has just, there's nobody does that anymore. It's just like, it just seems like it's either you're right, I'm wrong type of black or white issue of like, if you don't agree with me, like, you can't, I don't want to even listen to you, which isn't healthy, you know? And like, I'm not saying anyone's right or wrong, but I'm just, there's this energy of, you know, it's us versus them in every situation. And there, I do feel for all the African Americans that like, it's, I don't know. I feel like the cell phone, and video cameras in that sense has made something that has been happening to them forever in this country now visible to the public. Right. And like, so this small technology change is like, see, we've been saying this has been happening and now you guys get to witness it. And then that energy like brushes over into, you know, painting everybody that's a cop like a horrible person. Like, so it's like that weird flux. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of where my feelings are. I haven't myself gone out to any of the protests for a mixture of a couple of reasons. One is like, I have family members that don't have health insurance. So I mean, like, with all these protests going on in the middle of COVID, it's one of those things of, I just saw somebody get like a $1.1 million medical bill for surviving. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, correct. I don't want to throw that on anybody in my family or friends.
Right. So that's a good jumping off point. Cause I kind of wanted to pick your brain about, you know, when this happened, I think you and I can both say, and I think everybody would probably agree that this is uniquely historic times, right? Like, we haven't seen anything like this in our lifetime. I'm in my mid late 30s. You're younger than I am, but still, this is different. This natural sense of protest going on around the world in every city for weeks. And there's this sense of, regardless of what you want to say when you go out and cover these events, there's this natural inclination. I don't know if you felt it. I definitely felt it. I did not go. I'm in the same boat as you. I have not gone to the protests. and that's not a political stance of any kind. I actually do want to go, but like, it's kind of the same thing. Like, I just, you know, wanted it to be safe. I wanted to have a reason for being there that would be proactive, in the way that I felt was the best way I could do. But I felt this pull to record it because it's historic. You know, we're photographers. We this is kind of our style. Like, we want to document. And so when something is unique that's happening, it's like, hey, if you see, you know, the moon exploding, you're going to go and photograph it, like, as well as just hide from the ocean. But like, you know, this is just something that I think we're all pulled to. So it started to create this influx of people that went out and started photographing it. And, you know, I feel multiple ways about it. I mean, I think it's one, your right to do so. I think it's the obligation as us to record what's happening, what's documented, because, you know, just four assignment photographers for the newspaper can't cover every single moment that's happening there. The other aspect is just kind of being there, getting up in people's faces to try to drive something that is a false narrative, or trying to, I don't know, manipulate some situation. And I'm not sure the best way, but I would throw the question to you, I guess, is, you know, did you feel that like incentive to go out and capture it and record something?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. Like, we're photographers and we all have, and like, I feel like I'm kind of a semi-American like history buff. Like, I love like Americana, and yeah, I wanted to go out there, especially like knowing like the first, like everybody knew I, like the first couple of days after like the videos went viral, that like there was going to be aggressive protests, there was going to be police conflict
for sure.
Like, and it's weird because I feel like, okay, if like I was in college, right, like I 100% would have gone out and like tried to make photos. And I had this question like that I asked myself, like, okay, am I going out there to document because I think this is really important, or am I going out to try to create, like, this is going to be a chance to get, you know, portfolio
right
style like images, you know, because there's going to be conflict, there's going to be whatever going on. And I just had to like ask myself, it's like, am I going out there, one, to help because I believe in this cause, or because I want to like go get some glam shots of civil unrest? And like, and I think that's a question that everyone kind of has to ask themselves, you know, because like, if you're a photojournalist, like, or you're working for LA Times, or like a freelancer, like a stringer, like that's your job, you know, like, you, this is part of that. But also I feel like there's all these people that are like, oh dude, this is going to get me so many likes because I know like this is like, there's going to be good images that are there. Like, it's a horrible situation and you're capitalizing on these glam photos, you know? And yeah, then
I completely agree. Go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, no. And I just think like, I really asked myself that. And, so I really hesitated, like, and I'm close to downtown Santa Ana, and like the first couple nights, like I could just hear,
yeah, there was some wild stuff going there.
Police sirens, fireworks going off. And then like next morning I look at some of the photos, I'm like, yeah, like it's great stuff, you know, but like, I think I would have just been out there trying to get into harm's way, you know, just to make good photos. And it's not my assignment. Like, I'm not a stringer, or I'm not necessarily like a photojournalist trying to license those images out.
Mm-hmm. I'm 100% in agreement with the fact that I think everybody should ask themselves those questions. If you're assigned to do something, then it's kind of what your job is there to do. If you're not assigned to do it, meaning you don't work for a newspaper, you don't work for any publication, and you're just going to go and do it, I definitely ask yourself why you're going to do it. I mean, like, there is this aspect of doing it for the gram. I need to have content. I got to have something. And this is the most trending topic in the world. So why not jump on that bandwagon and get some more likes? You know, I'm not going to say whether that's wrong or right. You know, I wouldn't personally do that. For those that are doing it for those reasons, you know, I would recommend looking at it from a couple of vantage points. One, like, you know, you're putting yourself in great risk, especially during the time when it was at its apex, which I don't know if it's going to peak again. You know, there's just any moment something could be, that bubble could burst again and we'll have more violence. That week or so after was pretty intense. I mean, it just seemed like you know, you got to lock your, if you care about your family, you lock yourself indoors. And if you wanted to go out there, you'd be somewhat reckless, and you just knew that you were opening yourself up for an ass whooping. So, and that's not to discourage or disparage what people are doing on that front line. I mean, I think that takes a tremendous amount of courage that I did not exhibit. That being said, you're putting yourself in harm's way. One, we're still in, I guess if you don't believe it, then you don't believe it. But like, you know, we're still in this quarantine of COVID-19 being a real threat, you know, and if you don't believe that, like, you know, ask the people in New York, you know, where there's hundreds of thousands of people dying. So gathering with thousands of other people in itself is putting you in danger. So you're taking that risk on. You're also taking the risk on of, you know, police responding in a way that, right or wrong, is something that they are likely going to do. And that has resulted in journalists being blinded. I can't remember her name, but I know early on there was a photographer, I believe, or a newscaster that got blinded. And then people have been getting beat to holy hell. So you got to understand, like, just a number of areas where, why are you doing this? I know you want to get the great shots. I know you want to cover things, but, you know, it's just something to ask yourself. And if you're doing it for the reasons that you feel strongly about, then go for it. But, you know, if you're doing it for the gram, if you're doing it for those glam shots, I'm not so sure about that being necessarily the right motivation.
Yeah. And to kind of hop on that is it does seem like the police presence has gotten more aggressive towards journalists. You know, like, people are getting like, and it could also be that now we have more video evidence, like everyone has a cell phone type of technology, but it does seem like journalists, photographers, videographers are like getting like targeted to get, you know, pepper sprayed or, you know, those rubber bullets shot at them. You've seen the CNN journalists getting arrested mm-hmm. on like live TV, you know, and it's just like, it's just crazy situations. And then that made me think, like, also when I was kind of doing the math in my head, it was like, there, I feel like we're at this technological point where everybody has a cell phone. So like, as a historian, like, there's enough people documenting it, you know?
That's true. Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, like, if I was the only person in like a small town, then like, okay, you know, back in when there's only film, like, you have, in my sense, there's more of an obligation to go out there. But now, like, the odds of you missing something is not that really, like, it's not there, you know? So it goes back to, in my opinion, we're just out there, you know, trying to get those glam shots of horrible things happening. Also another, like, from a business point of view, like, at this time, Nikon is closed. They barely recently opened back up to like accepting gear getting sent back in. So it's like, if I get my camera knocked out of my hands by somebody, you know, and it goes, and my gear's broken, like, that's just one, that's another financial hurdle.
Sure.
But also, like, I don't have a way to get it fixed, you know?
Yeah. And so, you know, in this kind of roundabout way where I'm talking about like doing it for the right reasons, I'm also going to just kind of throw this out there for people that are looking to just make pictures for the sake of making pictures and sharing them for free. Consider actual, like, leveraging your intellectual property because of these risks, right? Like, so I think it's, you know, for some people, they're thinking, well, I don't want to profit off of it because it's, you know, shady or something like that. And I'm taking advantage of these poor people getting their ass kicked or the, you know, people getting murdered and so forth. It's like, well, you know, if you really care about the cause, I think then there's a lot of different ways you could do this. You can obviously protest. You can do that. You can make your images shared. But these images are generally going to be exploited one way or the other. So in my estimation, instead of having a corporation do that, you know, why not use the ability to license these images and then use that money to donate to the cause that you care about? Yeah. So, I mean, to me, like, that's just one of those areas where you're obviously taking tremendous risk from a health perspective, from an equipment perspective. You know, you might just actually be intervening in the actual cause. You just might be there stoking fires. So, like, you know, I would look at this from who's inheriting the risk. You know, don't give your images to the news publication because they want to use it. Obviously, they want to use it. That's their job to ask you to get it for free. I would turn that down. I really would. And if you feel dirty about taking money, then just donate all the money that you earn. You know, to me, so that's the roundabout way that I would go about it, because it's going to be exploited one way or the other. If your work sucks, then it probably won't. But if you're making good work and you have something to share and you have a unique voice on it, and then there are going to be publications that want to use that. And it may not be all the time. It might be like, you know, like 1 out of 10. It might be, you know, one of those opportunities though might yield something. And I would definitely look into that and think about copywriting them, even though you don't need to. You know, you still own the copyright, but like if you wanted to go through the registration process, that's certainly a possibility. But I, just something that I would think about if you're going out and doing your self-owned stuff. Yeah, I would look to leverage that.
Just to kind of pick your brain on this. So when you're talking about licensing, are you going to need to get, you know, like model release waivers from all these people that are protesting, or in your head, what's your opinion on that?
Not journalistically, not editorial.
Okay.
If you're doing this and you're trying to like license this to Nike's ad campaign somehow, and they're going to do like a protest, then, yeah, you know, but like, if you're just doing this as an accompaniment to an article, if you're going to do this for, you know, the newspapers, no, there's no model release that needs to be served, because that'd be like basically impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With all the chaos and everything that's going on.
And then the other aspect too, that I would just throw in there, is to make your stuff stand out, is everybody's got a voice, but it's not just an artistic voice, like actual voice, like write out your experience covering this stuff. So if I were to do this, this is how I would have done it. Not that it's the right way, but I would go out and I'd photograph. And I'd photograph for, you know, several blocks, several days, who knows, nighttime, daytime, just kind of like getting a full sense of what this is about, what this movement is about, what's the perspective. You decide what perspective you want to tell. If you're just there on a fly on the wall, or if you want an agenda to push, like, you know, but either which way, I would write about it. I would accompany the images into a blog post. This content you own. You don't own your social media platforms, but you do own your website. So for me, I would put that on my stuff, write a story about it. That would be a lot more compelling for it to stand out to any publication if they're looking for it.
Yeah. And also, like, I like how you said, like, there's so much more than just the protests, or like the violence of protests, or like
absolutely
those first days.
Yeah,
like,
and this, I don't mean to paint in that bubble, because there are people doing great things. There are people that are rebuilding communities, and they're trying to bring people together, and they're like building up this business that got smashed, and like that's great. So if you want to cover that, same thing, I would do the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's a lot of ways to cover this situation, and like, and I think if you were looking for those portfolio style images, like a longer story that's not just purely on like the protest, or like, but looking around the community, looking at how this is affecting your small neighborhood, like noticing something, how this is affecting you in your direct area, is way more impactful than just trying to cover like the riots or whatever, in my two cents.
Yeah, you know. No, absolutely. And so, you know, that's just what's kind of been going on in a lot of my mind in terms of the last several weeks and the last, you know, couple months since we've really kind of talked.
Quick before we move on, I kind of want to pick your brain, because we've been talking a little bit about how technology has changed this. How do you feel about these apps that have been popping up that make it really easy to blur out people's faces and remove metadata when you share these images on social media?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, so I didn't take photojournalism in college or high school or anything along those lines. So my level of understanding these scenarios is probably not as high as yours, just because I don't deal with it that much. The people that I'm photographing usually know they're being photographed, and they're there for that reason. In this sense, I don't think you have a responsibility necessarily to blur people's faces out. Your responsibility is to tell an accurate story to some degree. That means usually removing yourself, getting in as close as you can, but removing yourself from the narrative. You know, you're not trying to interject your position onto the story. You're there to cover. And so whatever happens kind of happens. That's my take on photojournalism. And to blur people's faces out would also just kind of be like this adulterating of the image. You know, if you want to protect somebody, okay, I suppose, you know, but I guess you would have that discussion with somebody a little bit more qualified than myself, with an editor, with somebody that you trust. But I don't think you have that responsibility to blur people's faces out. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're working as a freelancer, working for a newspaper, like, you're doing your job, you have to show the face, because there's like an emotional connection to faces, you know?
Yeah, I mean, also, it's so much of storytelling.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and like, that is your job. Like, you're not supposed to edit or alter images. Like, you're there to show what's happening, to what you said, like the fullest extent that you could remove yourself from that situation. Like, it's always impossible because you got to choose, like, am I going to go telephoto or 1635? Like, there's all these creative choices that are going on, but yeah, you should try to remove yourself from inflicting into the story. But if, I mean, look, I feel like I'm a little bit of a paranoid person. Like, if you're not paranoid, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's Americans' rights and history to not fully trust your government. And in this age of like face screening, like surveillance state, like all this stuff, like if you're going out there to use these images and you're not a reporter, then I think it's fine to do that. Like, I think it's okay. And it's probably beneficial because we live in this area now where people are getting fired for going to protests or losing. I saw a video of somebody lost their lease on a business because they were at a protest. And, you know, like, there's all these things where, like, oh, you were here, you're getting found out, police are scraping. Like, there's all this hoopla that's going on. So I find no issue with it. I think it's nice to protect people's identities in these situations because you never know, like, how the mood of America could change in from one day to another. But I think from in like a historical context, like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, like, you remove the blurred faces and show like this is the reality of the situation because like time has passed, you know?
Right. This kind of brings me back to this, the notion of discussion. Like, we have to have these discussions. And, you know, you know, freedom of speech is a real thing. There are consequences. There's no question about that. So, you know, the sheer fact that you speak up may get you fired. The sheer fact that you don't speak up may get you blackballed. You know, like, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't, in a lot of ways. And I think regardless of what your position is, we got to have these discussions, especially with people on the other side, so that we're kind of working together to figure out where we can win, where everybody can win. I really don't believe, I mean, with the exception of just bad people, right? And there are those people where they are really thinking of like, how can I win over you? And that exists. I'm not denying that. Many other people, though, really do want this win-win. Like, we all want to win. So like, how can we get there? And so I think these discussions need to happen more often. And so, yeah, like, this is just an interesting time. This is not the type of quarter two review that I anticipated happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, and what do you think about just in general, like this sense of, I guess, historical perspective, this historical point of view versus your personal point of view as you kind of see what's happening? You know, any last things that you want to mention about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is, we've already covered it, but this is definitely like an interesting time in America. It could be a potential turning point. Like, there's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of things that are going on. Like, we're in an economic squeeze, a pandemic issue. It's an election year. So there's all this other stuff going on.
I think that's just all adding more fuel to this fire too. Like, and I'm not saying that this would not have happened had the economy been booming, had everything been okay, but it doesn't seem to help the fact that all of this stuff is happening. I mean, enough people are saying like, geez, 2020, what more can you throw at us?
Yeah. And with all this stuff, like, I do think it's really important. Like, you need to like listen to other people, and you need to expand your perspectives and hear other people's perspectives and be empathetic and listen and don't try to fix someone else's opinions. Like we're all Americans in this situation. So don't say like, oh, you're like, you're an idiot, blah, blah, blah. Like, because then you're just calling your fellow American like an idiot. Like, be like, okay, like, hey, look, I disagree with your ideologies, but I'm sure that you're like an okay person, you know? And like, how can we bridge this gap? Like, how can you understand what I'm feeling? How can I understand what you're feeling? You know, and like, let's have a talk, like not get into this yelling match, because it, like, it's kind of simmered down a little bit, but like you said, like this one more match and boom, like it, there's more civil unrest, you know? And also to the protesters that are going on, like, I hope this momentum for change continues on. Like, that's my personal two cents. And this is a long fight. So I hope that in this time when there is a lot of attention and catalyst going on, that like leaders can come forward and a mode for progression can move forward rather than just like protest, protest, protest. Like, let's have a strategy to push this forward, you know? Yeah. So like, this doesn't happen again.
It's a good point. I think I would just say at the end of this, before we start getting into the other aspects of our quarter two, I think it's important to find your voice in all of this. And for some, it's easy. It's like, oh, I know exactly where I stand. And the mind is made up and you just kind of like, boom, there it is. For others people, it's like, you don't know, you know, you're trying to reconcile what to do professionally, what you do personally. You have friends and family members on both sides, for instance. I mean, that's exactly my scenario. I didn't even know what to necessarily post for this podcast because I didn't want to speak for you, you know? And so It's kind of one of those areas where it's like, I don't, you know, I'll speak for myself and that's about all I'm really willing to do. And people are out there thinking like, well, yeah, I might lose my job. I might lose my business if I'm on this side or if I show unity with this side. And so for me, I guess my strategy going forward is really education based. Like I am watching more documentaries. I am trying to learn as much as I can. It's my natural instinct as a minority to always associate with minorities in terms of their plight. Not that I have anywhere near the approximation of difficulty as somebody who is African American. But I understand the discomfort that happens sometimes when you're a minority. So I naturally kind of gravitate to people that are in those positions. And so that's trying to figure out where my voice is most proactive. And maybe it's not so much through like being a vocal activist, but finding other areas where you can help out. So whether that's like donating to your the cause that you care about, or if you really want to yell and scream, or if you really want to, you know, break windows, like, I don't know, like, we're all trying to find that voice, which is tough. And I'm trying to do my best to lift people up. And that's inclusive. It's not just to one community of people. Like, I always try to lift people up. And so like, the thing that I had to do, which was just reach out to people when this stuff was happening. And so when shit was going south and I had no idea who was really impacting on a severe level or if it was just like on a indirect level, I didn't know whose businesses were actually torched in Santa Ana or LA or whatever, you know, but like I was just trying to reach out to people, asking them, you know, like or just saying like, hey, listen, I support, you know, you as a person. I'm hoping that you're OK. Be safe. Be healthy. And if there's anything I can do for you, that's what I can do. But this is all new. It's all new.
Yeah. And I just want to hop in on that really quick too, is that like also realize that we're in this minute by minute news cycle. So with that, news organizations are constantly competing with each other to be a little bit more outlandish or a little bit more like, this is more intense and hype up what's going on and look at the extremes of both ends, you know? And like, those are the extremes of both ends, you know, like these protests are mostly peaceful from my understanding, but the news tends to focus on the looters that are smashing windows, as well as other news organizations showing, you know, police brutality like happen and it's a reality, but those aren't every single instance. So like, understand what you're intaking or what you have been intaking is very skewed from the sources that you're getting it. So try to balance that out evenly and understand that like you have to think for yourself and you have to question your own ideals and see counter arguments to those. And also just constantly be evolving and educating yourself. Like, I'm trying to do that all the time. So
yeah.
And that's my two cents.
No, I hear you. And I think it was valid and it was important for us to discuss this. I think it would have been disingenuous for us not to at least have this discussion to some degree. Yeah. And acknowledge what's happening out there. You can't just turn a blind eye to, like, hey, the fact that, hey, everything is normal. It's like, it sure as hell ain't normal to me. And it may be, what's even sadder is it may be normal for other people. You know, so like, I think empathy to me is the most overlooked skill set. I do believe skill set, but it's also a practice in people. Like, you know, so don't pay lip service to it. You know, really try to put yourself in somebody else's position. You know, put yourself in that police officer's position. Put yourself in that person, that victim's position. You know, just try to see it from other people's sides. And I know you got your stance, but we are trying to work together on this. It's not just like, hey, you know, a tug of war. So that would be my two cents there. I'm hopeful that people are going to get, you know, the help that they need. Justice will be served. I hope that just equality is not as difficult as it seemingly makes it that it is. It doesn't seem sensible to me, but you know, that's what we're looking for. Equal opportunities. That's it.
Yep. I think that's a good spot for us to take a quick break, and we'll come back with the second half of the show after a word from our sponsors.
All right, so everybody, welcome back to the program. Robert, kind of moving forward with your quarter two. I mean, I know it's been a quarter of disruption, but has your work been really compromised a whole lot, or have you been still going?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my work has just gone like to zero, essentially. No, okay, well, if
I don't mean to laugh at that. I'm just, you know, we're all in this together.
We kinda... Yeah, you either got to laugh or cry at it, you know, and like it's better to laugh. Yeah, if it wasn't for Cal State LA, I mean, I would have like zero work. So like all my freelance stuff has been canceled. Mm-hmm. And even stuff that I just got an email today, like stuff that was postponed to August, like they just decided two events to cancel. And it's like, oh, that's kind of a bummer. Like they're going through like a virtual kind of event and one other just straight out canceled. So that's kind of like, it's not looking good, you know, moving forward as well.
Let me ask you, when did you kind of anticipate that these were going to be the actions? Like, did you know, like after a certain point in the first, maybe couple weeks of quarantine, I was like, you know, this is real. This is a real thing. I had to start forecasting the rest of my year looking like zero. At least that was my preparation. And if it wasn't, then great. But I was just kind of preparing it for it mentally within the first week or two of quarantine. Did it happen for you later, or was it kind of just like did you still not even buy into it? Were you still like stubbornly always thinking, oh, it's going to be fine?
I mean, I think I started realizing it was going to get bad when, just when like I got that first phone call of like, hey, you know, we're kind of going to cancel our what's going on. And then it just like, it was like, I don't know. There's this saying of like, you go broke slowly and then all of a sudden at once. And it was just like, boom, phone call, email, like within a 2 week span. And I was like, oh, okay. Like this is going to really suck. Like this is, yeah. Like you said, like this is going to last for a long time. And me just, and my opinion of like American culture is like, we're going to be horrible at withstanding, staying at home restrictions. And like, there's fights over if you should wear a mask and all that, and not to get too political, but like that's American culture. Like, don't step on my liberties, like on my individual rights. And so that's like, in a sense, I 100% do not agree with like communist China or anything, but they're in this authoritative situation where they're like, no, we are going to lock you in your room and we're going to make sure this dies down, which I don't think is right either. But boom, their numbers go down drastically. And like in here, it's just going to linger. And so, yeah, I really quickly was like, okay, how do I make, like, what expenses do I have that aren't really necessary? And how do I cut those? And the ones that I do have, like, how do I cut those, you know, kind of in half? I've taken off, like, my Intuit, you know, because that was just a recurring bill that, like, okay, cool. I know it's not a lot, but boom, like, I have no income coming in. And right. I could easily keep track of my expenses.
Yeah, cut which the is, bleeding.
Like, Yeah, which is like nothing because I'm not needing to buy like batteries or, you know, gas, like because I'm not traveling anywhere. And I was like, okay, because yeah, I don't know how long this is going to last. I don't know if through fall this is going to pick back up again. You know, and I don't even know. I got a phone call that the CCAA, which is the division Cal State LA Athletics participates in, the conference, and like they canceled all their fall sports, you know, and there's discussions of like Division I schools not doing sports. So it's like, okay, like that's part of my freelancing gig. And if people aren't on campus or there aren't events going on, like I know like there's no work going to come in. So I think very slowly I got an inkling. I was like, oh, this isn't going to be good. And then all of a sudden I was like, yeah, this is really going to not be good. And let's instantly start living cheap and like not going out. Like, I don't know. I just like turned into an instant, like, how can I cut every penny possible?
Yeah, that's a really important area to kind of address as we go into this is that, and it's obviously, I mean, people are kind of at least socially to some degree aware of the compromise that had to have been made once they hit quarantine. That, you know, if unless they were completely oblivious to it or resistant to that notion, I think now at the very least, after 3 or 4 months, people have to understand there needs to be some sort of plan to some degree. I mean, you can't plan for this all the way. But, you know, I had discussions with my CPA who, and we were just talking about like, just prepare for 2 years of recession. You know, yeah. if it happens to be 12 months, great. But just prepare for it, prepare for the worst. And so that we kind of put in place just strategies, you know, what I'm going to do with my money. And, you know, I think that's an important aspect there. And I do believe that there's this kind of this push pull of being defensive and offensive at the same time. So cutting all your costs is a very defensive move, but it can be a very effective move, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, finding out like, oh, well, obviously, you know, cancel your gym membership, cancel like everything that needed to be, you know, canceled for 3 months. You know, if you have a $25 a month gym membership, cancel that shit. Cancel one of your streaming platforms. You don't need all of them. And maybe you do, I don't know, but like just make more, you're going to have to make more food, more meals at home as opposed to ordering out. And just kind of learn some of that stuff. So you be defensive there, but then also on the other aspect, try to be offensive and then within sensitivity time range of when to reach out to people and try to figure out how you're going to create income. So it's not just about managing expenses, but it's also about creating income. So it's kind of this doing both at the same time, which I have an expert answer for you? Absolutely not. I'm still figuring that out myself. Part of my aspect was, you know, one, do the things that I could manage, which was the greatest return for me was to kill off as much debt as possible. I am now debt free, which is a huge thing for me. Whoop, whoop. Appreciate that. And you know, that's just one area where it's like, I didn't want any unnecessary bleeding, you know, just patch all the holes in your life raft. Like, you know, don't need any like little holes there sinking my ship. And that's exactly what debt does, especially if it's consumer debt. If it's kind of like your a mortgage or if it's like your student loans and it's a lower interest rate, like, you know, I'm not going to say, hey, you're in a shitload of trouble. But when you have, you know, 20% APR type credit and it's like, you know, you're giving away hundreds of dollars every month, like that's a quick way to just use your money towards that instead and stop the bleeding.
Yeah. I kind of want to touch on what you said about like offensive and defensive kind of strategies is, and it made me think, cause like my personality is like, I'm very defensive. Like, I don't know if this makes sense, but like I used to play goalie in hockey, like when I was growing up, like so it's like, keep everything in front of me. Like, how do I not let things get past? You know, I'm like, I'm not an attacker, but then that made me think like, okay, how in this period have I been like aggressive in trying to either get some money or like educate myself? So like, I've been taking free online classes, doing a lot of like YouTube education, been going through my archive, you know, which is, it's like, it's one of those things I think we talked about, like right when this pandemic happened, like we wanted to get going, but it's like, how often do you have time where you're kind of stranded and you're just forced to stare at a computer, you know? So be trying to be productive. I think you had a good strategy of reaching out to past clients and asking them to leave a review on LinkedIn.
Yeah. I wrote a blog post on that and I agree, like not to cut you off, but like that's, yeah.
No, I want you to elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah. It's a great thing to do is, you know, reach out to, one of the things that I did, I think early-ish, within a month, was just to reach out to the clients that I felt were important to me to let them know that I, just as a human being first, that I care about them, that I'm hoping that everything is well with them and their families, that I hope that, because you never know who is directly impacted. At that time, we really knew nothing. Yeah. And it was like, I don't know if somebody's grandfather just died because of this. I don't know if somebody's business shut down that they had had for 20 years. So I just don't know. So I just wanted to show that I cared. And then too, you know, like when it was time, it was kind of like one of those extra things to let them know that when I come out of this, when we come out of this, it's important for me as a freelancer, who's somebody who makes my money entirely off of freelance assignments, that I'm going to have to be proactive. And so anything that you can do to help would go a long way. And so I started off with just basically asking people for letters of recommendation. And I've told them as well, just to let them know that if the answer was no, if they didn't feel like I was one worthy of it, or if they felt like there was not enough to experience there with me, that no questions asked. I wouldn't, you know, follow up with it. I just wanted to let them know, like, I'd be super gracious if you provided me a letter of recommendation, put on my LinkedIn. This is just something that, you know, we can all benefit from. It doesn't cost them anything. And I think they understand that. Like, they understand more than you think that, yeah, oh yeah, contractors, you know, cell phone, self-employed people, like, they're going to get hit really hard. And I know that I don't have a storefront. I don't have inventory. I don't have employees. So my costs are significantly easier than, you know, those other business owners. That being said, you know, like, I lost all my clients. I mean, all my events this year. You know, I'm an event photographer for the most part. So they understood that, and I hadn't had anybody turn me down. I've had people late, and they're kind of still like, oh yeah, I'm sorry, I'm going to get to it. I just haven't done it yet. But I think it was a great way to just be proactive, let them know that, hey, listen, when we're out of this, I'm ready to go. And then too, you know, if you don't mind, like, I'd love to just kind of ramp up the marketing train a little bit, you know, give me a shout out or anything like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, when you told me that, I was like, wow, that's like a genius idea. Cause like, I hadn't thought about that. It's just, that's kind of not my tendency. And so I started just reaching out to, yeah, my clients, like, through email. It's like, hey, like, I hope everything's well. Like, I completely understand that all the events have been canceled, but yeah, I just want to make sure you and like your staff is okay and your family's okay. And then just kind of started like a little back and forth email chain of just like, it was nice to check in with those people. And I was like, oh wow, like, I feel better about myself because like they reflected that, like, they care about me too. And they're like, oh man, I know things must be like really shitty for you, you know? But like, hey man, as soon as stuff kind of gets back on track, like, don't worry, like, you're the go-to, you know? And then I was like, okay, cool. Like, that's reassurance. And it's like, we're all in this kind of boat together of in no man's land, essentially. So yeah, I just want to say, like, that was when you told me that, I feel like we talked maybe like a few weeks ago briefly, and I was like, oh, that, yeah, I got to hop on that train.
Yeah, I think it's an effective way just to be a little bit more proactive, a little bit more offensive, and just say, you know, you're not asking for the moon. You know, you're not asking, hey, get me 4 clients that are just the same as you, but your competitors. It's like, that's not going to happen. Just asking them for an honest review of how you work. And hopefully you've done a good enough job and you've left a mark that that review is warranted. And those are the reviews that you want. You don't, you know, want like to ask somebody that you work for once and be like, hey, write a review for me that's like really stunning. And they're going to be like, well, I don't even remember who you are. So, you know, you'd be selective about it. So there are a lot of clients that I did not reach out to because I just didn't feel like the relationship was there. I didn't feel like I had done enough to separate myself and my services with them. Or I just didn't like how the interactions were in general. So I just said, okay, well, I'm going to reach out to the people that the opinions that I care about, and the ones that I value. So it's one thing that you can do very easily, and doesn't really cost them a whole lot. Doesn't cost you a lot to ask. If it doesn't happen, doesn't happen. But, you know, it's a confidence booster. It's something just to get the wheels going a little bit.
Yeah. Also, you know, when we interviewed B Trofer, like, her hopping right on, it seemed like right on it of starting her own Skillshare and then starting her own workshops. Yeah. And I was like, man, that's like, she was on top of it. Like, she was kind of in a weird situation where she was kind of quarantined on the East Coast away from her normal home. And she just like took over her friend's office, I guess, with her laptop and started putting these things together. And I was just like, damn, like, you're, dude, you're doing it. Like, you're on top of it. And And now I've started watching some of her Skillshare stuff, and I'm like, well, like, I've gained a little bit of knowledge, and I'm glad I'm helping out, you know, her channel and moving forward with that. So yeah, I mean, it's weird. I feel like I haven't been as productive as I'd like to be. Also, I've kind of started like getting a little sidetracked by the stock market a little bit, but you know, it's one of those things of like, I need to reamp and re-up my ante into like getting back on a offensive strategy moving forward, even though we don't know when this is going to end.
Yeah. Going back to what you said about B, who was a fantastic interview. And, you know, also rewinding back to James Patrick, I believe. And, you know, I just love this notion of like, man, to be ready when something like this happens, which nobody predicted, but having like this online business going, it was just like some, even if it's not providing you a replacement of your actual income, even if it's like 1/10 the percentage of what you would normally make, it's just some like momentum thing that kind of keeps you going and gives you like this purpose of like, well, I can double down on this, and maybe that can be 25% of my income replacement, you know? So like having that stuff in place is so intriguing to me. And I'm like, that's smart. And they must've been prepared. I mean, I know James has been, he's been doing that for years, but she must've been thinking about this prior to that in order to launch that quickly. Cause I don't think it was like, oh, quarantine happened today, and then on Tuesday, I'm going to launch this online business. I mean, maybe yeah. It did. And if that's the case, then there's absolutely no excuse for everybody else. Like, we're just too lazy to do it. but my assumption is like the wheels must've been turning early. And then, you know, this was just like, okay, well, I guess now's the perfect time. Let's launch it. But I loved that interview. I loved, you know, just that notion, and I'm glad you're supporting her and all that. The other aspect, yeah, and I think we're all trying to figure out the best way to ramp up marketing, ramp up like proactive, you know, measures. Some of us are trying to like kind of shift or pivot our niche or brand. Mm-hmm. And so that becomes tough because you're always trying to reconcile like, okay, well, my brand is technically this because that's what people pay me to do, but I really want to do this. So how do I promote this and go this way? And I don't know the answer to that, but yeah, like I that was one of the first things, was just getting good reviews in people, so that people, if they do stumble upon my work, if they do stumble upon my LinkedIn, they've got some references. The second part is just kind of building my ideal client lists, reaching out to clients or getting, just jotting down names of publications, of clients that I might want to work with, and particularly trying to find clients that I think that I could help that would be different. So if you're looking at a client with the perfect branding photographically, that's going to be hard for me to find a way in to that and say, mm-hmm. Here's my value, this is why you need me. So I'm kind of in a way looking for clients whose photography not necessarily sucks, but that mine is different, or my services might be different. And then just jotting those names down and building that client list, and then figuring out how I'm going to pitch to them. So it's like a lot of strategy involved, but we have the time to do it. So do I have it nailed down? No. I mean, but you know, I'm trying.
Yeah. I mean, it going back to like kind of pivoting, like I remember when I went to Adobe, I don't know what it's called, but the Adobe conference.
Right.
I took like an animation class, and it was great. Yeah. Adobe Max. There we go. And it was great. And I was like, man, I really got to hop back on that Adobe Animator, because it's so much easier like to have the time to sit down and do it. And like, I don't know, maybe start like a YouTube channel, something that isn't based off of my name, like something like that's just completely different. That just is like some creative outlet that's in a different field, to get the creative juices going again. Because I feel like for me, like I'm a very momentum person, you know, like it's like the first couple steps are always the hardest. And then like, you got to ride that wave and keep, okay, cool, I did it today, I'll do it tomorrow, and then I'll do it the day after that. And so it's like, okay, if this helps me think or view things differently, like it will probably help me with becoming a better photographer, filmmaker, you know, because there's a lot of things in Adobe Animator that you could do that I don't have the budget for, like as my own self filmmaking production company. Like you could zoom in, add lights, all these other like little side things, and just learn to draw it out. That way, when I do it in the real world and I'm making a short film or working for a client, like I already have the idea in my head of how I could do this because I've done it creatively for, you know, like I'm not trying to make money or anything, but just doing it creatively on Adobe Animator for fun. And then it slips into my creative field for business, you know? So that's something I'm kind of trying to re-get myself to do, you know, yeah. I just got to sit down and do it.
I'm with you on the momentum thing, because I honestly feel like even if it's not paid or if it's minimally paid, it's still this brand building kind of sled going down a mountain. Like, you know, once you just pick up a little steam, it can lead to other things. And so, you know, that's something that I've been trying to do with blogging more and posting more content that is, you know, if I can't shoot and photograph people and I can't put together a set without endangering people or, you know, whatever, then I can at least get some different types of content out there. And maybe we ramp up the podcast. Maybe we do extra things. I am still trying to. I feel like I've been doing this for like a year and a half and I have just not been able to do it. And I need to finish it, but like is to build these kind of lead magnets, these downloadable PDFs for people. And part of it is just trying to figure out what people want. And I have prospected to a lot of photographers asking them, you know, what free piece of, you know, education would help you the most? Is it like a rundown of how to run through the copyright registration process? Is it like, you know, how to budget? Like what speaks to you? And you ask 10 people, you get 10 different opinions. So
yeah.
It's hard to narrow that down, but like I've been trying to figure out what could I do to create that piece of content to offer people there. And that's not bringing me any money. It's just something that's honestly part of my brand at this point. It's like helping people out. And I've had a lot of Zoom calls with people asking me questions. I walked through one of our friends with how to license, because they've been asked to license an image for into another client. And so mm-hmm. we kind of walked through that stuff. And that stuff is important to me, like just so that, you know, I creatives, helping creatives is important. And, you know, so building off on that momentum does not have to have direct monetary gain. It's just something that gets you like going, because that's part of this whole quarantine challenge, is that it's just like, how do you combat the challenge of being locked in your room and finding something proactive? It's like, well, I'm a photographer. I have to go out and photograph people. It's like, well, you can't do that. Okay. So how do you impact things? How do you not drive yourself insane? And that stuff is a daily kind of challenge of like, okay, you know, what can I blog about today? What content can I put out there that's not just photography? You know, what can I do to make change?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we've been talking about this, and I've been talking about this of like writing more, and like I've gotten like I think one or two things I've written, and it's just like, man, I really need to I just need to keep myself on that, because it's tough, and it's a good kind of tough, because it's like a challenge and it's helping you find your voice and, you know, just like think about things from, I guess, a non-visual perspective. And I think all those things, like you sharpen all those tools, you know, mm-hmm. it helps in your profession. You know, and I'm not saying like be a jack of all trades, ace of none, but like you sharpen, I don't know, I just view it like as an EA sports character, like, okay, let's up my speed here. Let's up my agility here. Like, what can I do, you know, to get 3 or 4 points on my creativity? And it's like, okay, like you said, like in this quarantine pandemic of being stuck, like I can't go out and photograph people or events. Like, what can I do? You know?
Mm-hmm. So one thing that, if I recall a while back, one Robert Husky said that he was going to do an Instagram video for everybody.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
And he said, hey, don't be afraid to call me out on this if I don't get it done. That seemed to have been several episodes ago. That might have been a few months. How are we doing on that?
All right, let me tell you. I'm gonna, so I'm going to, before this episode drops, I'll do an episode. So I got to shave, you know, comb my hair, put gel in my hair for the first time.
No, that's don't do any of that.
So, no, well, the thing is, like, I can't grow facial hair, so it just looks like there's dirt on my face.
Even better.
But yeah, so now people are going to listen and be like, wait, what's he talking about? Robert totally did an Instagram live thing. So, okay, so yeah, I will do that. Because, yeah, you're right. Like, And I'm glad you called me out on that. And that's the point of, you know, having an accountability buddy is like, hey man, like I'm calling bullshit on your bullshit. Cause you're right. Like I haven't done it. You know, I got all on the hype train and then like, sputtered out.
Hey, we all do that. So. You know, just ask me about my book that I'm writing. You know, it's like it's going to be 2050 by the time I get that done. I just hopping on accountability. I do think this is another area that I had just learned about. I actually learned about this through James Patrick, but really didn't know what it was until I kind of researched and I listened to another podcast about it. It's called Masterclasses. Do you know anything about Masterclasses?
I mean, I see those ads on Instagram.
No, I don't mean that. Like, so those are like, you know, you get celebrities to talk about how great they are as a cook and all that type of stuff, which are cool. What I'm talking about are, I'm sorry, not masterclasses, masterminds. Sorry. You know what a mastermind is?
No, I do not.
Okay. So masterminds are basically accountability partners in a group. And I think this is a great platform because I was like, oh, this is actually pretty genius. So basically, it doesn't matter what field you're in, usually sometimes some sort of business, entrepreneurship, you know, in this sense, creative, but it can be a meld of many things. And you choose how many people you want to be part of this group. And so you'd have maybe, let's say, call it 5 to 7 people. And you decide on how often you're going to meet up. Maybe it's once a month. Maybe it's more because it's quarantine and you have a little bit more freedom. And each person brings something different to the table. So even if we're all photographers, you know, everybody kind of shares like some sort of issue that they're having. And so every time you meet, somebody brings something new to the topic. And it's like kind of like a talking stick. It's like, okay, today, you know, Jill has the talking stick and she's going to say, okay, well, I've been really struggling with my email marketing funnel or something like this. And then everybody starts pitching in and you start gaining ideas and momentum. And then everybody kind of takes turns each week or each whatever to kind of improve. And so you'll find that like everybody has something different. And so it might be business related. It might be like talking about, I have no idea how to handle covering this event. I have no idea how to handle lighting this. I have no idea how to handle the audio on this and shift to video filmmaking. And so, you know, getting those people in together and to build this mastermind, and it can be as niched down as you want, or it can be very diverse, which could be cool. But that's something that has interested me. I certainly just wanted to at least put that out there. So in case anybody was like, hey, that's exactly what I need. Cause I, you know, the hardest part about this is that I'm lucky enough to have friends in this industry. I'm lucky enough to have you so that I can talk to pretty consistently. But for a lot of people, they don't have any of that. And so they're looking and they're hoping for the time that they can get invited to a workshop or something and start talking. But why don't you just set that up? Be the leader of your own mastermind. Ask some people and say, hey, would you like to do this? I'd really love to grow and help push and gain insight. So I think that's something that we should all be looking into, is creating our own masterminds.
Yeah, no, I mean, that definitely sounds like there's only winning that comes out of that. You know, like what's the negative drawback on that is like you dedicate time. It's like, cool, you have all this time right now. You know, so I'll definitely have to look into that. Is it like a group? Like, is it you just find people and you kind of
blog
together or?
Yeah, like, so the way that if I were to do this, I would basically just prospect by reaching out to people that one, I think would be good for it. And if I didn't have anybody, I would probably just, you know, prospect this out publicly and say, hey, on Twitter, who would like to join my mastermind? And then they would read back and like, what the hell is a mastermind? And then I would tell them, you know, like, this is what we do. We would go around like the table. If we're not in public together, actually at the same time, we'd probably just Zoom it, which makes it easy. And everybody would say, okay, go around the table and say like, what's a small win that you had this past quarter? And then you start from there and be like, okay, great. So now who's got like an issue that they really want to tackle? Like what's preventing you from getting to the next step for you? And it could be as big as you want or as small as you want. It could be as nuanced as like, I need to know how to build my WordPress site. Or it could be something like, how do I get from, you know, 2 clients to 5 clients? And so you just have these discussions and then all of a sudden it becomes this accountability. It becomes a safe haven, like a group where you're helping each other. And the more diverse it is, I think the more unique the opinions are going to be. And yeah, but that's just something that's been on my mind. I don't know if it's something that, you know, I will have the ability to create, but if you are interested in that, you know, let us know in the comments, and I'll just reach out to me directly. I'm interested.
Yeah, no, okay. I'm definitely interested in that as well. So yeah, because I think that's one thing from this podcast that I feel like we always rehash on is that like we hold each other accountable, and even if it's just talking every week, if like, okay, hey man, what's the subject, or you know, have you done any research on that, or just like, hey, how's life going, how's your business going? And it's just there's some balance in talking pretty much every week of just like, oh yeah, like there's other people in this boat with me, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the same didn't seem that long ago, we were kind of texting back and forth about like, hey, did you apply for the SBA grant? You know, and like, yeah. No, I don't even know what that is. What is that? And then it's like, oh, okay, well, here's a free $1,000 if you get it, you know, which I have not gotten, by the way, SBA, you know. I don't know how many times I have to call you guys. And they tell me that the check's in the mail, so to speak, but, you know, still haven't gotten it. So, you know, not holding my breath. But either which way, you know, it's just one of those things where you just don't know what the other person does or doesn't know.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I was like, because I just assumed that you knew about it. And I was like, hey, man, I don't know if you know about this, but like SBA, you want to grab on it? And he's like, you're like, oh, shit, what is this?
And so. Yeah. And then you sent me a couple of videos that were like really informative of like walk me through the path. Because like as soon as you texted me, I was like, okay, let me, you know, Google this. And I was like, oh, dude, I don't like this looks a little bit more complicated. I don't know if I have the paperwork or whatever. And then you sent me these links. I was like, oh, this is. Cool. Yeah, this is way easier.
You texted me back in like 5 minutes and you're like, done. And I was like, oh, whoa, really? That was pretty cool. Yeah. And so you just never know. So if you expand that to like, let's say 7-10 people, I mean, the more people that you get involved in this, the more chaotic it could be. So I do think that smaller, more intimate groups, you know, start off with like 4 or 5. That seems like a really good kind of sweet area there where it's like you just decide like, hey, you know, because you want people that have ideas to contribute. You also want to have people that need something to learn too. So you don't want to have like one person that's the expert and then everybody else is contributing nothing to that person. So it's a win-win for everybody, but I think it holds everybody accountable. It gets everybody motivated, and you just don't know what somebody else's experience level is. And I know that there's so much that I could learn from other creatives and other photographers in my field that, yeah, I would totally be interested. I have just no idea if people would also be interested.
Yeah.
So to kind of end this segment here, it's a little unusual. I know this is an interesting year, but what are your goals for quarter three?
Stay alive, stay healthy, you know. No, I mean it's really weird, you know, because normally it's you have a better sense of what the next 3 months, 4 months is going to be, and I feel like right now it's just changing every day. So for me, I guess it's like re-up the momentum, you know, re-up the failing, re-up the trying things new, re-up the writing, re-up the getting called out on not doing the Instagram posts. Like, it's just one of those things of just like restart. I feel like I started really good at quarter two and then it's just tapered off of like reaching my goals. So I guess like really redo that of finish up my archive, now that I've reached out to some of my like solid clients and like just touch bases with them, email back and forth and be like, okay, hey, like, can you give me that review? You know, like give me the positive notes of what you liked working with me, because I'm going to steal that idea from you. Like it's a great idea, you know, because they're both in the same boat and also understanding that we need to help each other out. Mm-hmm. And I guess look for more ways to be on the offense of just moving my business forward, even in this like weird time, you know, because my tendency is to be really defensive, like cut costs, you know, live cheap. Where, okay, now how do I pivot or how do I move forward in kind of uncharted territory? And I know that's very vague, but I feel like kind of in this vague time, you know, you have to be a little bit. So I'm going to say for like a more concrete is like really cut down or have my goals and cut them into digestible segments, you know, like, okay, like have a mark, like within 2 days, I should have this done by the end of the week, I should have this done. Okay. By the end of the month, I should have XYZ done because I've met my goals on a daily, weekly basis. And really stick to that. And so I'm going to say like, write that stuff down and have an accountability check where I could push those things forward, you know, and share that with you and be like, yeah, that's right, Mike, I did it. You know, so check this out. Mm-hmm. How about yourself?
So, I kind of agree in the sense that, you know, it's hard to be specific when we're in just a position in our our country and our workforce that's just a little bit unique and unpredictable. That being said, first of all, I'm used to having killing X amount of dollars per debt off per quarter, and now I don't have that. So I'm like really interested in about that. I'm like, oh, this is unusual territory for me for the last few years. But now I now have money to invest and create investment. So I'm going to be diversifying in areas there. You can certainly help me out with your stock market expertise. But I would say, you know, it would branch down to a couple of things. They're all proactive. So for one, for sure, I want to reach out to clients. One of the things that I do want to emphasize, and this is, again, a James Patrick nuance here, is that anything that can be measured can be improved upon. So in my estimation, it's important to write actual numbers down. So instead of just saying reaching out to clients, and I haven't yet, but maybe we can do that right now, is figure out a number. You know, in 3 months, you know, how many clients should I reach out to? Let's call it 10. All right. 10 new clients that I'm going to, you know, personally reach out to and craft some sort of pitch to a degree. So let's do that. Let's say personal projects. I mean, let's all contingent upon if I'm allowed to, but let's say three personal projects in that time. Mm-hmm. That might be overshooting, but shit, you know. And then let's see here. Let's call it 8 books. 8 books read. And yeah. What else is there? I wanted to blog posts, maybe. Let's do 6 blog posts. Let's keep it there, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, that's on record right now, which I know all of our intense fans will jot down as well and keep that up on their cork board. But yeah, those are just goals for me to see. And if I fall short, then chances are I'm still probably within range.
Yeah, dude, that sounds good. You know, also, I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm glad you called me out on the Instagram thing, but where are all our listeners calling me out? You know, it's been a couple months. Come on, guys. I thought you guys were our accountability partners too. Mm-hmm. So don't be shy on Instagram, Twitter. Now we have our own website. So reach out to us. Call us out on our BS, you know?
And by the way, I believe I set it up. I actually do have an email list for our website, for our blog. So if you guys want to subscribe to our blog and or our email list, we will be sending out hopefully quarterly kind of reviews in terms of some of our posts, our interviews, and projects. So sign up for that. You can just find that on any of the bottom pages of our posts on media1099.com. Is there anything else you'd like to wrap up today, Robert? Are you good?
I hope everybody out there is staying healthy, making it through these troubled times. Remember empathy, remember listen to others, and, you know, let's stay together as America and, you know, move forward in a positive direction.
And I will just say to everybody that, you know, at the start of the year, I said that 2020 was going to be an important year because it's the cliche of you want 2020 vision for your life, your career. Never has that, in my opinion, been more true than it is right now. It's not a time for you to just say, oh, 2020 is shit. And, you know, can we just get this over with? This is maybe the most important year in many of our lives. So I would approach it as such. Do the best that you can to be a better person, better neighbor, a better family person, a better business person. And I think with that being said, you know, we're going to try to do the best that we possibly can. You know, we have such tremendous empathy for everybody that's going through stuff right now. And we hope that we can provide as much as we can from a slightly uplifting and or business aspect to all of you. So if you guys enjoyed the show, do us a favor, just help us out. Subscribe button, hit that. Listen to us on your favorite podcasting services, but we'd really love if you just left a review on iTunes for us. That would be great. Just letting us know if you have gotten anything out of this, if it's meant something to you, if there's just one episode, we would really appreciate that. And of course, check out media1099.com. So that's going to do it for us today. My name is Michael Durr, and I'm here with Robert Husky. Thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you on the next episode.